Coming to you from Blog Talk Radio, this is the Asylum Football Sunday Morning Inside Slant. I am your host, Rick Briggs. Rick Fligger will be joining us here in a moment. And I tell you what, it is the final week of your fantasy regular season. And there's a lot riding on the line here. And let me just bring in Mr. Fligger, who is on the line. He's on the road to the studio. Let's see. I think he's here. Rick, are you there?
Wow, a very smooth intro, my friend. You and Cole got it working today. About 20 minutes out. I'm playing hurt today. I'm traveling the world, Rick. It's been a wild ride here, but I'm ready to get everybody, since I can't make it myself, I'm ready to get everybody into the fantasy playoffs today.
Well, I tell you what. You know, Cole actually showed up at work and everything kind of started off seamlessly. You're on the road. You're coming to the studio. We won't be listening to you. You know, it sounds like you're at the beach right now, which I know is not true, but you will be heading to the airport going to Atlanta later on this afternoon. But let's get into Week 13 while we're at it here, and I'm just going to go down through a brief list of some of the injuries here. Basically, Monty Ball and Ronnie Hillman both out Week 13 against Kansas City. You know, that's significant if you had drafted any of these guys, but Anderson owners, cheer up. I mean, that's some good stuff there. You know, Rick, you hit on it when you covered the Turks games on Fantasy Sports Network, you know, about Detroit. I'll tell you what, this thing with Reggie Bush is, I mean, it's confounding. I mean, there's guys drafting him as their RB2, you know, maybe even their RB1 if they had loaded up with some wide receivers. He is just back to what we feared of him a few years ago when he was in New Orleans.
Yeah, Rick, I don't understand him. This is a guy I have to admit, and there's a lot of where my troubles come from, and a lot of guys. I had this guy ranked top 10 preseason. Loved what I saw last year. Loved the fit in that offense. Dealing with that ankle all week. They come back. The ankle's all right. He's going to play, and then you find out Thursday morning, now he's got a back issue as well. He just absolutely can't stay healthy. And the frustrating part with him has always been down in New Orleans, down in Miami, now in Detroit. He's not getting 25, 30 carries a game. He's not on the field for more than half the team's offensive plays. The guy's just fragile, and he's so dynamic when he gets his hands on the ball, but you absolutely can't count on him whatsoever.
No, not any longer. I mean, after last year, the 1,700 total yards, and, you know, I mean, he was over 1,000 yards in Miami. It was like, okay, maybe he's rounded the corner and got those little injury bugaboos behind him, but I tell you what, like you said, he hasn't played much this year, and when he does, he's been disappointing, but you can't count on him, and it's frustrating. But let's run through some more injuries of any significance. You know, I mean, everybody's banged up. We all know that Clowney's still not going to play for Houston. Not a real fantasy impact as far as offense, of course, but, you know, just things to pay attention to if you happen to be a Houston owner. And, you know, so many, everybody's, you know, probable, questionable, and all this kind of stuff. But Larry Fitzgerald is one that you need to pay attention to. I think he's going to play. He has that questionable diagnosis. But, you know, they're having a pretty tough game today.
Yeah, I mean, Fitzgerald's a guy. He generally, I'm sure we'll get into, you know, your game time decisions when you're talking about an Arian Foster's a perfect example. And I feel like we have this conversation every single week that if Foster goes, you got to play him. I'm not sure the same applies to Larry Fitzgerald. He's banged up as it is. I think we saw a glimpse of who Drew Stanton really is last week. You know, you want to cut the guy some slack. It was a pretty tough matchup, I understand. But Larry Fitzgerald finally started in recent weeks building that rapport and looking like Larry Fitzgerald with Carson Palmer. I think we're right back to where we were with 2013 Larry Fitzgerald and with early to mid-season 2014 Larry Fitzgerald. If he's healthy, I have question marks about him. Being banged up, being a game-time decision, I don't think I go anywhere near Fitzgerald this week unless I'm in a real pinch.
Yeah, I mean, probably better options out there, but at this stage of the game, you know, he may be one of your better options. But, you know, there's a few tight end problems out there. We know Julius Thomas is questionable with that ankle. He kind of throws some owners into a real conundrum because they're the 8:30 game. You don't have many options after that if you find out that he's not playing. I mean, you're looking at, Miami and the Jets on Monday night, and Charles Clay for Miami's doubtful. You happen to have him, Dwayne Allen, he's doubtful. So, you know, the Julius Thomas thing, okay, I'll put the question to you. If you have him on your team and, you know, I don't know who you might have. Say you have a, an Eric Ebron. Ebron's not a good. It's another tight end. Do you risk a Julius Thomas knowing he's an 8:30 game?
Boy, I'll tell you what, it's tough to do. I think only if I have another option. Maybe, you know, playing the Jets, Jason Morrow's a guy, sort of a pickup, a plug-and-play, and it is a risk, I suppose, for a touchdown. You keep an eye on it going up till 1 o'clock, maybe pick up guys for 4 o'clock, although you don't tend to hear a lot of stuff in the middle of the day like that. But it's going to be something to keep an eye on. If I don't have a backup plan, I'm not taking a risk. I'll pick up a Heath Miller. I'll pick up somebody like that, plug them in. Now, if we find out this morning, and I doubt we will, that Thomas is going to play, but he's going to be limited. I talked about this on the Fantasy Sports Network show. If I find out he's going to be limited, a la Jimmy Graham a few weeks ago, where he's going to be in the red zone. You know, this guy's such a touchdown threat. I'll take 75% of Julius Thomas over 100% of most of the tight ends in this league. But I'm almost going to have to hear something this morning that leads me to believe he's going to go, or I'm going to have an Amaro, or I got to be honest, Rick, I'm blanking on the donkey's name, who's the backup to Clay there in Miami. If I can get my hands on one of those guys, maybe. But outside of that, I don't think you can take the risk.
Yeah, you're right. I believe it's Sims is the backup for Clay. I mean, and mentioning that, you know, Amaro out as well with a concussion. So, I mean, there's not much to choose from out there. So, I think you're as an owner, you're backed against the wall. If you don't hear anything at 1 o'clock, you're either going to gamble with the Thomas, or you got to run out and grab, if you can, a Heath Miller or someone like that, and just take your chances that, you know, you don't lose a ton of points with him. But anyway, yeah, we already hit on Amaro's not out as far as the tight ends goes. Jarrett McKinnon from Minnesota, doubtful with that lower back. Now, owners that have Matt Asiata stashed on the bench. Do you roll with Asiata, or do you worry about Ben Tate?
I think this is the week we see Ben Tate get a little bit of work. But I think this is Asiata's game. And we've seen, boy, a roller coaster ride with this kid. He's got a nose for the end zone. That seems to be a saving grace. I don't think you're going to see him go out and get 25 carries rushing for 100 yards, but it is so hard to find a reasonable running back for your squad right now. If you've got Asiata, he looks to be the only game in town. Well, how many times have we seen Riggy? You know, Trent Richardson's the perfect example, another guy left Cleveland. These running backs don't just show up and start succeeding, so they may try to get Tate a little bit of work, but it's going to be Asiata's game, and if you got some tough decisions here, I think it's going to be a volume play. I can't guarantee results, but I think it's a decent little volume play. So Asiata, knowing McKinnon's going to be out, I think it's a solid flex play this week.
And we have our roving reporter, Scott Fish, who will be joining us on the 11 o'clock hour, our Minnesota man. Says Joe Banyard looks to be getting most of the touches he's thinking he's going to get most of the touches in Minnesota. And, you know, obviously he did look good last week when McKinnon, when he got in there. But, you know, I agree he's going to get some work. I think it's going to be a real RBBC myself, to be honest with you, Scott. I think Asiata's certainly going to get his looks, especially in the red zone. And I have to agree with Rick. I think Tate will get some work, too. They didn't pick him up just for, you know, because he looks so good sitting on the bench. I think they'll probably all get a pretty good distribution of touches, quite frankly. And, yeah, let's move on. You know, there's just so many. Latavius Murray, there's another one. He's out with that concussion. Now, that'll go to some of the questions when Scott gets in here, because I know at least one of the questions I got to Darren McFadden is brought back into the picture now that Latavius Murray is out. You know, how much do you trust in Darren McFadden? So we'll get into that a little bit later. Good news, Martavius Bryant from the Steelers, he was sick, but he's probable to start against New Orleans. They're certainly going to need him, I think, to keep up with the New Orleans offense. Look, the Ike Taylor's going to be coming back, you know, from that forearm break, which is certainly going to help. Shamarco Thomas is probable in the backfield for the Steelers. Ryan Shazier is questionable, not looking for him. Troy Polamalu's back. Certainly good news as far as the Steelers' defense goes, but this is a real dangerous game when you're playing against Drew Brees.
Yeah, I think this game, more than anything, if I've got issues at any position and I'm looking for lower-level talent, inconsistent talent, from the New Orleans Saints and the Pittsburgh Steelers is exactly where I'm looking. The Steelers specifically defensively, we're acting like here in Pittsburgh, let's rejoice, Ike Taylor's back. This is the best thing that could have ever happened to Drew Brees. I think he's a downgrade coming back, plus being off for what's he been off for, 6-8 weeks, whatever it's been. That's a downgrade on the outside. I think Drew Brees has his way. I think Ben Roethlisberger also on the other side has his way, but you know, Kenny Stills, you name this litany of receivers for New Orleans that pop their head up every now and again, grab them, plug them in this week. I think from what I've seen of the Steelers defense, Drew Brees is just going to pick them apart all day, and if the Steelers win it, I think there's a chance they may win this game, it's going to be in a shootout fashion.
Okay, I didn't have a question that I've seen come across, but just to throw one at you, say you're sitting there with an Andy Dalton, you know, that was your quarterback or some sort of thing. Do you roll with a Colt McCoy?
Oh, Colt McCoy. No, I don't want any part of that Colt McCoy, that Washington mess. I don't understand the move. You know, I think what we found out is, and I gave Mike Shanahan a really hard time on our show over and over again, I'm starting to think RG3 is the problem. Yeah, I don't think he's coachable. And you got a guy, presumably he's not hurt and he's not banged up. This is just a performance issue. How do they ever recover from this? Colt McCoy, I'm sorry. That offense is stagnant. Pierre Garçon is bad. Alfred Morris is below what I expected. It's just a complete disaster there. And I think a move like this can tear a team apart, and I fear that's what's going to happen there in Washington.
You know, from a football standpoint, I think I disagree with you a little bit. I think actually I think Colt McCoy is commanding more respect than RG3 is right now. The team had actually revoked some privileges from RG3, basically, in a nutshell, his family showing up, you know, whenever they feel like it at the facilities and a few other things like that. So, I mean, you know, the honeymoon and the being enamored with RG3 is long over with. And, you know, when it comes out that way publicly, I think it's already been established in the locker room, quite frankly. And I think Colt McCoy actually, like I said, commands more respect from that team. And look, I mean, he played well. I think they won 2 games in a row, and all of a sudden RG3 was raring to go that next game when Colt McCoy looked like, you know, he looked like the real deal. So, I, from my standpoint, I think Washington's a better team right now with a McCoy in there, just from a respect and leadership factor.
And it may be. You have to wonder, and I'm not inside, and I haven't got a chance to speak to anybody who has any insight on that Redskins locker room. And when you talk about privileges being revoked. What you have to keep in mind, that means there were privileges in place ahead of time, but not necessarily other players. And so maybe this makes other players feel better. I think the problem is Colt McCoy just isn't that good. That's the problem. I think maybe it's a boost in the locker room. Maybe it helps, but Colt McCoy's ability to get the ball to receivers, to read defenses, to make plays with a lack of talent outside of Garcon, you know, maybe Jordan Reed if he's back healthy this week. I think that's where the issue comes in, and I think the results are the same. The face may be different, the attitude may be different, but I expect the results to continue to be the same.
Yeah, when you're playing at Indianapolis, I'm not looking for any great turnaround, you know, when it comes to that. And there, I tell you what, there's some big games. We'll hit, hopefully, do some little predictions here later on in the show. But San Diego at Baltimore, a very big game right there. Let's see. Well, New Orleans at Pittsburgh, we already mentioned that one. Arizona at Atlanta could be a trap game for the Cardinals going into Atlanta, who still have a potent offense, who always seem to find ways to lose a game. And the two big ones, New England at Green Bay and Denver at Kansas City. Now, both these games, to me, they're going to have to set records as far as television viewing, I would assume.
Yeah, you look at this New England-Green Bay game, you're already being touted as a Super Bowl preview, which pretty much guarantees it's not going to be. But right now, these are the two hottest teams in the league, the two hottest quarterbacks in the league. You know what I don't want to hear? You're watching that four-letter network all week, Rick, and all this speculation that obviously being in the division they're in, especially that the Patriots have a game or two to give and that Belichick's going to hold something back and we're going to save it for the Super Bowl. If you believe that, you're a clown. It's not going to happen. I think you're going to see the best of two teams. And yeah, I couldn't predict that, Rick. I know we're going to have to predict them. And we'll do that later on. But, boy, that's a coin toss. I don't see that one being a runaway, which a lot of these big games this year have been a runaway. So, Rick, I am here. I am outside the studio. I'm going to hang up. I will be down there shortly.
All right. And we'll look forward to your smiling face. And I will get into the chat room here. And let's see. Let's get rid of old Mr. Flager here. We don't want him hanging in the there we go. Okay, we have a non-PPR or standard flex, and we have to choose from Reggie Wayne, Calvin Benjamin, Fred Jackson, or Shane Vereen. I tell you what, I think Calvin Benjamin has to be in there. They're playing Minnesota, and yeah, let's face it, as bad as their record is, Carolina is right near the top of that division. Atlanta can find ways to lose games. New Orleans has been finding ways to lose games. And, you know, there's a lot to play for. I think Calvin Benjamin is just a huge, huge target for Cam Newton, who's certainly been underwhelming. But, you know, I think I'd have to go with Calvin Benjamin. I think he's going to find the end zone today against Minnesota. Fred Jackson is a great play. And go back to this New England thing. You know where I stand on New England. Shane Vereen could blow them all away statistically today, or he could do basically nothing and we see Jonas Gray or LeGarrette Blount again or whatever. So if I have to trust somebody, I got to trust Calvin Benjamin first and then probably Fred Jackson second. Reggie Wayne certainly hasn't been the huge target. You know, we have T.Y. Hilton there. So, you know, so I'm going to go Benjamin on that one there. And Rick has made it to the studio. We'll wait till he hooks up here, but we're going to get going on another one. We have a flex play, and we have to start one out of Martavius Bryant, Reuben Randall, LeGarrette Blount, Shane Vereen, and 1 point PPR. Oh, I tell you what, you know, with this New Orleans matchup with Steelers, I got to go Martavius Bryant. This guy is a touchdown machine right now with Pittsburgh. And I know he had a quiet week last week, but I'd certainly go Martavius Bryant. Then, you know, going back to what I said just in the last question with this New England backfield, I really hate to hang my hat on any of these guys. You have Blount and Vereen, and either one –
either or could blow them away with stats. But I think I'd have to go Ruben Randle second. And that's where I'd stay on that one there, or with Martavis Bryant. You already have Gordon Hilton, Arian Foster, C.J. Anderson. You're probably going to blow them away anyway. So throw another touchdown machine in there with Bryant, I think. Now, are you on here, Mr. Flager?
Can you hear me?
Make sure your mic's on.
Live? How's there now we I go. Can hear myself. You switched my mic slot here. That
well, yeah, there we go.
So the question was, Mark, two out of Martavis Bryant, Ruben Randle, Vereen, and Blunt?
No, we're taking one.
Oh, just one. Yeah, it's Bryant. Although, number two for me, I think it's Vereen. I know you can't trust them. Well, that list of other players, I like the upside. This has got to be a Vereen game, right? Yeah, Blunt doesn't go out and do that again. You know, Jonas Gray, he might as well be shoveling snow on the sideline. He's done.
He is going to play supposedly today. But, you know, even if he's in the lineup, you don't know who Belichick decides he's going to use. That's what I hate about that New England backfield.
What you know is Blunt's going to get the goal line. Whatever, there is some weird, weird man love between Belichick and LeGarrette Blunt. It's a very strange situation.
Yeah, it is, really. But so you go Blunt and I'd go Randle second, but I think it's Bryant first. We have a
no
little
question.
Tight end mess. Reed, Paul, or Wright? Yeah, that is a mess. And I'll tell you what, for my money, I'm going right. I just think that there's just so much more potential in New England.
Right.
And you don't know what you're going to get with Washington. And both of them, if they're playing, now it's just a mess. And I don't want any part of that right now. Alfred Morris is about the only guy in Washington I really want to play.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. And you don't know. You know, Paul's always a threat for to get in the end zone. I can't get settled down and settled in here. But, God, you just don't know. Reed may do what you think Reed should be able to do. However, you know, he could also bust his head up. Yeah, I think it's right. You don't like having the second tight end, but before all the murder and stuff, you know, Aaron Hernandez made a pretty good living doing that.
Yeah, no question about that. Okay, Rick, we are caught up this far as that way. The questions... Yeah, we were going through some of the big games, and we hit on New England and Green Bay. And Denver and Kansas City in Arrowhead, there's another one. We saw Denver lose 2 weeks ago. Yeah, and quite frankly, they easily could have lost last week against
right.
Miami. There's a few chinks in that Denver armor, especially on defense right now. As you mentioned off-air, we were talking, or maybe on-air, I can't remember. But if Kansas City falls behind, it's tough for them to really catch up. They got a pretty good defense. They can get after Peyton Manning, and if Jamal Charles starts running,
right,
this could be a tough game.
You're going to know very early on the way this is going to go. It's just as simple as that. If Manning comes out and they start picking them apart, look, this is a really, really good Kansas City defense. If they start picking them apart and they get down 10 or 14 early on, this game's going to be an absolute blowout. And it's entirely possible that this game is a blowout in favor of Denver. If you see Kansas City go out and score and you see at the end of one, 7-3 game one way or the other, and a 14-6 to 14-10 game at halftime, you're going to have a game. This could go either way, and I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it as we go on before we pick the games. This could go either way between a close Denver win, a Denver blowout, or a close Kansas City win, and you're going to know fairly early on.
Yeah, I'm looking for a close game. I just think that this Kansas City team's for real. And, you know, look, they got outgunned a little bit in Denver, but it still was a pretty competitive game. And Alex Smith can get it done if he has to. And can they outgun Denver when it gets to that type of game? No.
Absolutely not. But
they certainly can score quickly if they have to. If there's, you know, if the game's within reach is my point. You know, if it's a touchdown game and Jamal Charles is running pretty good and everything, then that starts to open things up a little bit for Alex Smith. That's when he's dangerous more than if he's behind. Let's go to Twitter. We have a question there. I want to get that knocked out before we forget. In a quarter point PPR, Ryan Matthews or Shane Vereen?
It's got to be Vereen. I know you don't trust that New England backfield. I understand why I asked the question. But look, my boy Ryan Matthews, everybody knows I love him. But he came back last week, got banged up, missed a little more time. Looked like he's going to be healthy, ready to go. that Baltimore matchup's not a good matchup. If you get in a shootout like I expect between New England and Green Bay tonight, Vereen's going to have to make some plays, and Vereen's going to have an opportunity inside the 20 for touchdown receptions. I don't think you're going to see Gray back. The carries inside the 5 are going to go to LeGarrette Blount. But I think if this game goes the way you expect it to go, you're going to see a whole lot of Shane Vereen, a whole lot of Julian Edelman. I think that's the game plan when you're going to have to keep up and match an Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It's got to be Vereen. Hey, you want to call in 646-478-4679. We will certainly take your call. Let's get back to the chat room. We have we need 2 in standard scoring. This is a good question. Andre Ellington, Rashard Jennings, C.J. Anderson.
I think it's C.J. Anderson, certainly, especially if it's a PPR format. I think he's a big part of that. And I think they're going to struggle to run the ball, and they're going to struggle to move the ball, and I think they're going to put pressure on Peyton Manning, which sets up really well for a guy like C.J. Anderson. And for me, I'm going to have to look at the matchups.
I think Ellington against Atlanta, I think, is a given. I think you have to get him in there.
Who are the Giants playing?
Where are we at here? The Giants.
Giants playing Jacksonville. I'm going to disagree with you, Rick. I like Rashard Jennings. I don't like Andre Ellington. The Cardinals made that signing. They brought in Michael Bush, said he was going to be used. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I think they're going to struggle to move the ball, even against a bad Atlanta defense. For me, going up against a bad Jacksonville defense, a game they need Eli in full-bore turnover mode, they're going to want to hand it off as much as they possibly can. I think it's Anderson and it's Jennings for me. It's close with Ellington, but it's Jennings.
Yeah, to me, you know, it's Ellington all the way, providing he plays. I know he's a little bit banged up. In fact, I think we can probably check – I have it right here. Andre Ellington, he says he's probable. So, I mean, he had that foot injury. But if he's probable, I'm going to roll with him against that bad Atlanta defense. No question in my mind. Okay, I think we're caught up, my friend.
All right, why don't we do how about some starts and sits here? You see this, Marshawn Lynch is threatening to retire again. This guy amuses the hell out of me, but yeah. I'm about sick of it.
He's not going to retire.
It's getting a little tiresome with this guy. I like weird. Yeah, I'm weird.
They're in the playoff hunt. You know, him and Pete Carroll get along. I'm almost sure of it. No one else ever could.
No, certainly not. But yeah, I'm getting a little tired of his antics.
Okay, let's go to some starts and sits. That's a good place to go. You know what? We already talked about the Arian Foster and so forth coming back, so we're not hitting on them, obviously. But it's very hard to, you know, I got to go. This kills me. I got to have to start Marcus Colson against Pittsburgh.
Right. Stole it right from me, Rick. I mean, what are the odds of both of us?
I didn't mean
Marcus
to stumble
Colson.
And bumble, but I knew you were going
to
get assailed because he makes me cringe.
And he should. He's terrible. Terribly inconsistent, I should say.
Right.
Today's the kind of game, the kind of matchup, because he's going to work underneath. You have Stills, you have Cook if he's healthy. It doesn't matter. Yeah, all these guys.
Out.
It doesn't matter. All these guys. All these deep threats they have. The middle of that Steelers defense is awful. It's going to be wide open. Jimmy Graham, Marcus Colson are both going to have monster games, and it does make you cringe to do it, and you're stuttering and muttering. You couldn't believe these words are coming out of your mouth.
Right.
I agree 100%. Marcus Colson, this is an 8-9 catch, 100-yard game for him, and you hope he gets in the end zone, unless Jimmy Graham has 7 touchdowns, which is certainly possible this week. But, yeah, it's tough to believe, but Marcus Colson is a safe start.
Yeah, I agree. How about you? Do you have a good start for everybody?
Well, I don't know if I have a good start, but...
Well, let's give him a real sucky one like normal. How's that?
This is going to seem simple after last week. But if you go through the mailbag, if you check our Twitter feed, and not yet this week in the chat room, maybe the message has got across, Rick. Odell Beckham is an every week start now. He is a low end is he a low end number one? Certainly a high end number two fantasy wide receiver. And we get a lot of, I understand it, Odell Beckham, Kelvin Benjamin questions. But if you're out there starting Vincent Jackson, if you're out there starting Pierre Garçon, Odell Beckham is ahead of all of these guys. You take away what I consider was last week, and most people consider the single greatest catch I've ever seen in my life. This kid is consistent. Even with a bad quarterback, he's getting in the end zone. He makes plays. He's another one of those guys, especially for a quarterback like Eli, that you just have to get it close to him. It's not just this week. Yeah, I want to take this opportunity to make this declaration. Odell Beckham is an every week start, unless you have
– of course he is.
Calvin Johnson, Jordy Nelson, and name another one. Don't ask Odell Beckham questions. The answer is yes, Odell Beckham.
Right. There's no question about that. Okay, I'm going to come up with a sit, and you know I could probably name just about any New York Jet right now, and he's probably a legitimate sit, so I'm not even going there. I tell you what, I don't like Darren McFadden against the Rams, and I had a lot because you know I had some questions that I mentioned earlier with Murray out. I tell you, that Ram defense is pretty solid up front.
Yeah. You wonder how many better options you have, but it's hard to disagree. You're going up against solid defense. It's a tough call this week. You know, for me, I'll stick with the running back position. And we actually had a question on it there in Twitter, Rick. You know, my boy Ryan Matthews this week against the Ravens. I know you've been sitting on him at the end of your bench all season, waiting for him to get back. I had him plugged into some lineups, but he suffered that shoulder injury last week. He's going to be good to go. But the Ravens, yeah, this isn't the Ravens teams of old defensively. This team still plays a little bit of defense, going to struggle to run the ball. And, look, you got still have three guys with Donald Brown back, three guys capable of handling the ball. I don't think Ryan Matthews gets enough touches to overcome a tough defense like Baltimore.
This game is every bit as big as New England, Green Bay, and Denver, Kansas City, to me.
Right.
Especially in regards to these two teams. They're both 7-4, both in the division hunt. I mean, look at San Diego. They have to win to stay pace with somebody because Kansas City or Denver is going to win today. And, you know, Baltimore, they're in a must-win situation. Everybody's got 7 wins in that division. Yeah, I'm not saying must win, but when you got it that cluttered for the playoffs, it basically is a must win. San Diego's at a disadvantage coming east, and they're going up against that tough Baltimore defense. But, you know, they still had the firepower, actually, to win that game. We'll get into that prediction a little bit later. But this game's going a long way, I think, in you know, the future of either one of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, what a mess that AFC North is. Do you like this, Rick? Do you hate it? You always would like to see some separation. There is no margin of error for any team there. You know, if it wasn't for that tie, that goofy tie, they'd right. all be sitting at 7-4 right now.
Yeah.
Cleveland getting it done. Cleveland only getting better. Josh Gordon, you know, look, I was wrong. I'll say it again. I thought he was going to be irrelevant. He comes in double-digit catches already. And left a lot on the field. As far as I'm concerned, on top of that, it should have been better. It could have been better. He gave up on some plays. He missed some reads. Jordan Cameron on his way back. You worry about a 4-week concussion, but seems to be on his way back. Don't know if it's going to be this week. It's going to be soon. That team's only getting better. Steelers defense getting healthy for what it's worth. I still think it's a terrible defense, and that's sort of been the theme of this show. But it's getting healthy. The emergence of Martavis Bryant. Bengals finally getting healthy. You got Gio Bernard back. You got A.J. Green looking healthy. Andy Dalton's woken up a little bit. You know, the Ravens just sort of plugging away. The emergence of Justin Forsett and a legitimate running game there, recovering from the Ray Rice situation. There's just no margin of error. And I don't see any team giving. I don't see any team blinking. If any does, I think it may be the Steelers. I just, with this matchup with New Orleans, I was hoping for some rotten weather here. It is kind of cloudy. We may get some rain, but it's 60 degrees out there. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So there goes any advantage there except the muddy, slow track. Yeah, that field's been tore up at 20 high school games and some Pitt games. That field's tore up. Maybe that equalizes things a little bit. But boy, that division, it's fun to watch. It really is. Sure, there's no margin of error whatsoever.
Yeah, you say, do I like it? Yeah, I like it. I mean, I could be a NFC South fan.
Well, that's so true. And 4-7's getting the job done.
Tampa Bay's 2-9 or two games out of first place. But no, I mean, I think it's, and you look at any of the four teams in that division, you're right. None of them's going to give an inch. I mean, you're going to have to beat them. Now, you can say what you want about the Steelers defense. Yeah, it's got a lot of weaknesses, but you're going to have to beat that team because they got a powerful offense. You got Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and it's all AFC North attitude.
Right, and you're going to have to outscore them. So, Rick, it looks like our boy Jersey's on the phone. I think you're hooked up. You're going to have to grab that for
all
me.
All right. I appreciate it. I will certainly get him on here. Okay, I think we got area code 609. I believe that's Jersey.
Hey, gentlemen, want to wish everybody happy Thanksgiving. Or, you know, hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving there. And I'm 10-2, so I'm okay. I did take a loss last week. You know, a couple things here and there. But what I wanted to ask you guys, if I could reach out to the listeners, don't ever play in a family league. It's not my family because they tend to cheat. Here's a guy here. I'm actually 3-9, right? 3-9 in the standard league. And if I win today, which I should, and he should be beating this other guy that I beat head-to-head, I'd make him the playoffs. He's got Griffin the third in. He's sitting Foster. He's sitting Rodgers, and he's sitting Beckham. Because he writes, I have no idea what you mean, but my thing says, you know, Domer's not playing his best players to stop other teams from making the playoffs. And when he says here, my team needs rest. They went through trials and tribulations this year and suspensions, trades, and injuries. He's an a-hole. Excuse my English. And that's why I wanted to reach out to you guys. Now, most leagues would ban this guy from future stuff. He's the brother-in-law of the commissioner, and they do nothing. And I said, guys, just give me my $100 back. I don't want to be in your league no more. You want to play games like this? It makes the whole fun out of it. And everybody else plays in good faith. What would you guys suggest in something like this? Like, any suggestions? I've never in my life, in all the years, and I've been playing over 10 years, never had this happen. Everybody plays their best teams.
There's not a whole lot you can do, I guess. I mean, you could try to round up everybody else that's playing heads up and just demand that you get your money back. But I certainly would not be playing in that league ever again. And, you know, maybe try to drag some of these guys away from it and start your own league and just banish them away.
Because
I mean, you know, what
truest.
Can't you do? I mean, you could go over and punch him, but that doesn't get much done either. But
believe me, man, I'd love to wake this little B-I-T-H up, you know what I mean?
Try to get your
acts and can't back it up.
There's not a whole lot you can do about that, quite frankly, but certainly never play again.
Because I wrote in there that if you're not going to play your players this week, then you shouldn't be allowed to play them in the playoffs, those three guys, and I want my money back. I said, this is crazy. So, again, I'm one never to cry. I've never had anything. We won a lot of championships, but you know, what's fair is fair. You don't all of a sudden play these players all year and then all of a sudden say, well, I want to screw this other guy because he can get in. And he's scared to play me and his brother-in-law, who's the commissioner, because our team is dangerous could be with the players we have. That's bullcrap. And I said, sure, the commissioner, I said, you got to step up and rectify this stuff. It's not right. So, again, normally I ask you guys, we punch our heads for lineup stuff. I'm fine that way there. It's just a matter of I just wanted to get somebody like you guys' advice is what you think. Because most people, I think, would ban a guy from the league ever playing again for pulling something like that and then not be able to use his player. So I want to get your thought on what you would do with something like that. I never had that happen ever in my life.
My feelings on that, and there's a comment in the chat room that says you just deck him right in the mouth and blame it on the stress of football. See, hey, maybe you can blame it on concussion syndrome or something there, Jersey.
You know, well, like I said, when he wrote what he wrote, I'm gearing up for the playoffs. You know what I mean? So
wrestling a fantasy team that makes a lot of sense.
I will decide who plays and who doesn't play. Best for Domers. Rodgers was late to a team meeting. He's making it up in his thing. I will bench him. Coach GM of the Domers, Uncle Dan. He's an idiot, and I'm thinking to myself, to let something like this go just makes the mockery of the league. And like I said, I've let things go with goofy trades that they've done where they've gotten great players and got crap back type thing. And I got to get out of it. And I like playing the two leagues. Like I said, my PPR league, I'm 10-2. I love that with those guys. But this one, so my advice to people is, if you're not a family person, never go into a league where you have 10 family and 2 non-family, because non-family gets screwed every time. That's one thing I learned from that. But
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, Rick can attest we've been in a league, what we call a league of consequence, for years. I've been the commissioner. I've actually vetoed some trades, you know, early on with guys that aren't in the league anymore. And, I mean, yeah, if they're not going to do that, the integrity of the league's shot. And if the integrity's gone, I don't want no part of it. So what else is going on, buddy?
That's it, man. Everything's good. Like I said, if Junior wins, he makes the playoffs. His team took a tailspin on there, you know, losing games with his running backs and stuff. But like I said, I should win my division today on the other one, and we'll see what happens in the other league. But, again, I wanted to thank you guys again for all the help you've given me. I'll definitely be in contact with you with one league because I know I'm in the playoffs here. And wanted to wish everybody a belated happy Thanksgiving to the listeners and yourself. And thanks for the advice you've given me this year and in past years. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Jersey. Good luck this week. Don't worry. These guys, fantasy karma has a way of being a real, real bitch. And I think in this case, it pops up. It's real. Fantasy karma is real. I've been bitten by it, and I've been saved by it. So, hey, good luck this week. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys. Take care. Have a good day. Good luck to you guys. Bye-bye.
See ya.
All right,
Rick. Let's get on to the chat room here and get caught up a little bit. We have a 12-team PPR. Owen Daniels or Mohamed Sanu for a flex?
Oh, boy, that's tougher than you would think. Yeah, Owen Daniels intrigues me this week. He's got a nice little matchup, actually. Sanu with A.J. Green coming back. You know what? I'm going to stick with Sanu. Give me the wide receiver in this position. I like the Daniels play. That's a sneaky little play. But, I'm going to go with Sanu here. I'm just not a whole lot of breakdown. I'm going with Sanu.
Yeah, I have to go along with you there. Look, Sanu, he's emerged this year, and he's certainly a legitimate WR2. And, I mean, even with Green in there last week, he came through with a nice touchdown catch, and he had a really nice day. So I don't think, Dalton's ignoring him at all. He's going to take the matchups. And A.J. Green is an impossible matchup, so I still think Sanu gets his work, and I think that's the way to go there. Okay, we need a standard flex, and we need one from Mark Ingram, Alfred Morris, Rashard Jennings, or Calvin Benjamin.
Okay, so it's a non-PPR.
Right.
Ingram, Morris, Jennings, Benjamin. I think it's still Benjamin, right, Rick? I think he's just the best player on that list, has the highest upside on that list.
I tell you what.
Ingram could have a big day against the Steelers, but I think it's going to be a complete air show. If the weather stays the way it is here in Pittsburgh, it is a 1 o'clock game. I think it's an air show, so which is where I downgrade Ingram. I don't like Morris. It comes down to Jennings and Benjamin. I just think the upside's more there for Benjamin, even in a non-PPR. Because Benjamin hasn't been a PPR monster. He's doing it on 5 or 6 catches a game,
right,
getting his 100 yards and finding the end zone fairly frequently.
Yeah, I really like Calvin Benjamin. It's hard to bench him at all. But I'll tell you what, as big a mess as they are, Alfred Morris is putting up numbers. Look at that week that he had last week, and it is standard. And this is the guy. And you get a little bit from Helu catching and so forth. I understand that. Alfred Morris, you know, he needs to be considered. But I still think Benjamin, I agree with you. I think Benjamin's first, but I think Morris is probably second for me. And Ingram and Jennings, to me, are almost a coin flip. Ingram could have a big day. I mean, he's going to get red zone looks, I think. And he's a close third, I think, to Morris. But I think I'd have to go Benjamin with you. He's almost unbenchable.
Right. He really is. And like I said, the PPR isn't a factor with him because he's not an 8, 9, 10 catch kind of guy.
Right.
He's doing it big plays, getting in the end zone, doing it on minimal catches.
Right. That's what makes Morris so attractive because you know he's going to get the work.
No, 20.
There's no question.
He's getting 25 touches. Yeah. There's just no question
I think it's Benjamin. Close second, actually, is Morris, and then Ingram and Jennings, and probably either way you want. Let's go with a PPR question here. Andre Ellington or Keenan Allen?
I've given up on Keenan Allen. I think I talked about it on the Fantasy Sports Network show. I can't remember. It's been such a crazy week. But I think I talked about it this week. Keenan Allen, I'm done. I've washed my hands of it. I worry about that entire Chargers offense. I worry about Phillip Rivers, your boy. He sort of come out doing just what you said he was going to do, and things. But it seems kind of quiet recently after that disaster down there in Miami. But if it gets rolling, it's Antonio Gates. I'm out on Keenan Allen. So rather than dig too much deeper into it, so by proxy, give me Andre Ellington, especially in a PPR. I think that's where Ellington's value is.
See, I'm not out on Ellington. I mean, Allen. I mean, 104 yards and a touchdown last week against St. Louis, and you know that was the thing. I actually saw a story. It kind of bothered me a little bit. Not, you know, really angry, but you know, I mean, I just thought it was sort of inaccurate. It said San Diego looked like losers even in victory over the Rams. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, this is a defense that shut down Peyton Manning 22-7 the week before.
Okay.
San Diego goes in, drops 27 on him. It was 27-24 game. I understand it was very close, but Denver got beat.
Right.
San Diego didn't. Phillip Rivers put up about 285 yards. Couple touchdowns. You know, Keenan Allen, 104 yards and a touchdown. I don't think, you know, if you beat a St. Louis Ram team, I don't think you look like losers in victory. And that was just like a kind of a slap in the face to with not a bad game.
No, and that's not how I would phrase it. That was a little over the top, hyperbolic, and I don't know who wrote it. I didn't see it. But I think I know what they meant to say, if they weren't buffoons, whoever wrote that, is it's been the last several weeks, even in winning, even when the numbers bear out, save for a Keenan Allen, it hasn't been comfortable to watch. It hasn't
True.
Given you the warm and fuzzies. It's been labored. It's been they've struggled. It just hasn't. Look, they're right there in the mix, right there in the playoff run. Phil Rivers is still getting his numbers. But I get what they're saying. There's something off. Something doesn't feel right when you watch it. It's uncomfortable to watch. But look, it's getting results. And to your point, that's an excellent point. You go out there, you put up 27 and beat a team that completely shut down Peyton Manning. It's hard to hang your head. But again, back to the question. I like Ellington in a PPR. Yeah, Keenan Allen, okay, there's once. I'm going to have to see it again before I really trust him.
Yeah, getting back to the question, you're right. I will agree. It's Ellington. I really like Ellington. And look, I know Phil Rivers has been banged up all year, you know, the ribs and so forth. But he's still got over 2,800 yards, and he starts getting a little healthier. I think San Diego still could make some noise. But, okay, here we go. What do we have here? Oh, geez, we're falling behind the chat room as we got on the San Diego thing here. So let's, okay. Okay, we need one. Okay, we need one flex in PPR.
Okay.
Gio Bernard, Jeremy Hill. Here we go again. Calvin Benjamin, Brandon LaFell.
Oh, boy, I like all of those.
Yeah.
All of them this week. Okay, so actually last for me on that list right now, even a PPR, is Gio Bernard. I think Jeremy Hill has put himself above in that situation. That Tampa Bay matchup, so good. Kelvin Benjamin, for all the reasons we talked about. And who was the last one? LaFell.
LaFell.
Boy, I like LaFell. You just never know. If the matchup's right, it could be an Edelman kind of game. It could be a 12 catch for Gronk. So as much as I like LaFell and have him as a start this week, on that list I'm going to throw him out. So it comes down to Jeremy Hill and Calvin Benjamin for me. I can't believe I'm saying I'm going to go Jeremy Hill, Rick, against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is so weak against running backs, against opposing running backs. I think Hill, he's going to get the goal line work. He's going to get 15 to 20 touches. It's 1A and 1B. You could talk me back into Kelvin Benjamin, but I'm going to recommend Jeremy Hill here.
Well, Dean, we certainly apologize because I'm going to disagree. I have to go Kelvin Benjamin. He's clearly the number one on Carolina. We've already seen what this guy can do this year, and he's been pretty consistent doing it. And, you know, Carolina's playing at Minnesota, not a bad matchup. I take him over Hill for the same reason, in a way, that Rick doesn't like Bernard. I still think Bernard's certainly going to get his share of the touches. And, you know, Calvin Benjamin, he's the guy in Carolina. LaFell, he's certainly a breakout potential with New England, especially against Green Bay. In fact, I think he may even be my number two, but it's very close. But I'm going Benjamin number one on that list. No question about that.
Yeah, look, and again, you can talk me into that one. I really like it. Again, you throw the PPR out when you're talking about him. Here's the thing with Jeremy Hill, though, Rick. Let's look at the game log recently. I think that's where you got to get hung up. Of course, my computer just froze. I want to get the exact numbers here, make sure we have it right.
Our studio is what did you term that? The turnover?
Vortex of internet suck yeah. is what it is here at the Cozy Bunker Studios. But in the month of November, Rick, 24 for a .154 and two touches against Jacksonville, 12 for 55 against a good Cleveland defense, 27 for a .152 against New Orleans, and 18 for 87 and a touch last week against a good Houston defense, as far as I'm concerned. Jeremy Hill right now is playing like a number one fantasy running back. I'm not going to declare him a number one fantasy running back, but you sure didn't see Gio Bernard cutting too deep into his work last week. Give me those 20 touches over the risk of a Kelvin Benjamin, if there is any risk. And I've made all these arguments for Benjamin right. before. But Jeremy Hill, they're not going to get away from it. You know, we still got 18 carries last week with Gio Bernard back. Got a great matchup this week. I can't get away from Hill. I'm going to dig my heels in on that one a little
bit. Hey, you know, I'm not saying he's a bad play. I'm just saying I think if I had the choice, I'd take Benjamin because I know exactly what I'm going to get. I don't know if Bernard's workload picks up,
it may.
Now he's back. So
it may.
That's my thing here. We have a little bit of kind of a funny question in the chat room, but it makes a lot of sense. Do they change the playoff system if an NFC South team ends up winning the Super Bowl?
Probably not.
Yeah,
they should.
I know, but it's good. It's funny, though.
Remember, there was that outcry years ago when, wasn't it Seattle got in at 7-9 and then beat Washington in the first round, and there was an outcry to change the playoff structure, and they're not going to do it.
Why? It's a division winner.
Right. Yeah, you stink, and it evens itself. How cool would that be if the Falcons won the Super Bowl this year, though?
Now, I do agree from a standpoint, a division winner should not get the home field advantage if they're 7-9 and they're playing a 12-4 team.
All right, so you want to put them in and then see them by record. I can live with that.
I don't see why that would be a harmful thing there. Maybe give the division winner the home field advantage if they're 13-3 and a wild card happened to be 13-3, something on that line.
Yeah. I can live with that. It works the way it is, and these things really have a way of working themselves out. Yeah, we had that little stretch there a couple of years ago, about 2005, when the Steelers backed into playoffs and won a Super Bowl. And there's a couple like that. For the most part, these things even themselves out. And, you know, though it could be dangerous. When you've got a Drew Brees, if New Orleans ends up being the one winning that division going in under 500, I know how bad that defense is, and it should correct itself eventually. But, boy, you get a Drew Brees in the playoffs in the right matchups in the right weather. It could go on a run. You'd almost root for it. You know, I'd like to see how the league would react.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we're approaching the 11 o'clock hour. Let's do a little predicting while we're sort of caught up here.
All right, Rick.
All right, Cleveland at Buffalo.
Wow, tough matchup. Both teams, I think these are two very similar teams. Both play nice little brand of defense. I think Cleveland's got too much offense now. I don't know about if Jordan Cameron's back. They really found something on Zayah Crowell, and we didn't get to it with the starts and sits, but that's my start of the week is Crowell. I think too much offense there, no room to slip up. I think Cleveland's for real. I think it's going to be a tight game. I like Cleveland by a field goal.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a real hard-nosed game. You know, Fred Jackson came back last week, had a pretty decent day, got into the end zone. You know, both teams pretty good defensively. Josh Gordon's the X factor, I think. And I'm going to Cleveland myself. I think I'm going 24-20 over Buffalo.
Right.
Okay, San Diego at Baltimore. We covered that game quite a bit.
Excuse me as I hack and wheeze here. I'm playing hurt today. Baltimore, I don't like it. That's a 1 o'clock game, right?
Yeah.
I don't like San Diego traveling across the country playing that 1 o'clock game. Same thing I said with Cleveland. No margin for error. Can't give this one up. I don't think San Diego's got enough offense to overcome that defense, considering the circumstances. I hate that traveling across the country.
Yeah, for that reason, I'm taking Baltimore. I think San Diego has enough offense, but they don't seem to travel well.
No,
you know, across the country here, and I like Baltimore. Actually, I like them about 27-18.
Yeah, I think a 10-point win somewhere in there is pretty reasonable.
All right, Carolina at Minnesota.
Oh, boy, this is a tough one for all the mess that has been Minnesota this year. And for all the losses, I feel they've been competitive just about every week. Carolina, a team, a real disappointment coming off that year last year. I think all the injuries, Minnesota's so banged up. I think Cam Newton goes up there, finds a way to get this one done. I think this is an ugly game. I think this is about a 60. I always predict one of these, Rick. I like it 16-13 Carolina this week. I predict that score every week.
Oh, no, 9. I'm stunned.
Oh, we'll get there. You wait.
Okay, I tell you what, I'll be honest with you, Minnesota, you know, McKinnon's hurt, but, I mean, he basically had taken over that running game, but it's been far from dynamic, let's put it that way. But, you know, Carolina, they're in that division. They're right in the middle of the hunt. Minnesota, they're trying to find themselves, and they're trying to, you know, improve. I guess is about basically what you amount to it. But I think Carolina rises to the occasion, too. And I think it's going to be a very close game. I'm going to Carolina 22, Minnesota 21.
You give me a hard time. A lot of 22s come from you. You don't see a lot of 22s.
Yeah. Okay, Washington at Indianapolis.
Indianapolis by 40.
I got to go Indianapolis 41, Washington 12.
Fair enough. There's 12 I like.
Tennessee at Houston.
Oh, ugly matchup there. Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick is back for Houston this week. And I think that, you know what, no, Tennessee's due for a win. And I think Houston's bad. Tennessee's bad. I think, I don't know how, I don't know why. Give me Tennessee 17, Houston 13.
You know, I think Houston's a better team, and they're at home, and I know Ryan Fitzpatrick's back at the helm, but I think he's good enough to beat Tennessee. I'm going Houston 27, Tennessee 16. Giants at Jacksonville.
You know, I'm going to do it, Rick. I'm going to predict the upset here. This is the kind of game Eli drops. They should go in there. It's going to be ugly, I think. I expect a lot from Rashard Jennings this week. I think it's a bad Eli kind of day. I don't know why I have this feeling. And give me the Jaguars, 23-21.
Okay. I mean, I was actually thinking about that, but I'm certainly going to agree with you now. So I'm going with just Odell Beckham and Reuben Randall and Rashad Jennings. I think they get, and you know, Larry Donnell, I think they have enough firepower to beat Jacksonville if Eli can stay away from that front line. So, but I think Giants will win this one, 24, Jacksonville 19. I like these scores, huh?
I'd like to see them all end that way.
Oakland at St. Louis.
Too much St. Louis. Yeah, I think that St. Louis team is for real. And I'd like to see what they would look like had Sam Bradford stayed healthy all year. You give that team a quarterback, that's a playoff defense, Rick. That's a championship defense as far as I'm concerned. In this matchup, Oakland, they got their win. They got their high. You know, now the kid, I just blanked on his name, Murray, right?
Yeah.
Latavius Murray. He's out. Very Oakland thing to happen. You hit on something, you hit a little luck. I think it's going to be close. St. Louis doesn't have a lot of offense. Give me St. Louis 24, Oakland 17.
Yeah, I like St. Louis. They're at home. They got a good defense. I'd like to see what St. Louis would be like in the NFC South,
yeah,
instead of that NFC West. But who they play very well,
right?
When
yeah,
it gets
yeah,
right
they
down
play
to
very
it.
Well in the division.
But I think St. Louis just a better team. I'm going 24 Oakland 17. Cincinnati at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay 2-9, only two games out of first place.
Yeah. Cincinnati. We keep talking about this North game they got to have. This is a team they should be able to beat, and I think Cincinnati doubles them up 34-17.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit closer, but I like Cincinnati 31, Tampa Bay 20. New Orleans at Pittsburgh.
Rick, this one is so hard to predict. It really is. You never know what you're going to get out of that Steelers defense. I think Drew Brees picks them apart. I've seen lesser quarterbacks pick them apart. Brees has had a propensity for the turnover. That would be the scenario, I suppose, where the Steelers could win. I think in a shootout, though, I think it's too much offense for New Orleans. I'm going to go New Orleans 37, Steelers 31.
You know, New Orleans, just a dangerous offense the whole way around. I think their defense is horrifying. And for some reason along the line, they keep finding ways to lose, be it an interception, be it a fumble, whatever it is. Somewhere along the line, I think this crummy Pittsburgh defense somehow holds it together long enough for Pittsburgh to do it. I like Pittsburgh 34, New Orleans 30. Arizona at Atlanta.
This one's so tough. It's 4 o'clock game. Drew Stanton. I'm not buying into Drew Stanton, Rick. I think it's a tale of two teams going two different directions. When you look at what Seattle did Thursday when that defense got healthy, I think Arizona defense is good but not good enough to overcome Drew Stanton. I think going across the country, I think with a bad taste in their mouth and still in contention, I like the Falcons by a field goal in this one.
You know, I understand what you're saying about Stanton, but I think Arizona, Bruce Arians is not going to let them, you know, fall asleep against a team like Atlanta, especially the way Seattle's coming on. I think Arizona goes over to Atlanta. I think it's going to be a pretty close game, but I think they just keep coming at Matt Ryan and keep coming at him, and I think Arizona has enough. 27-20 over Atlanta. All right, Miami at the Jets.
Miami. Yeah, my boy Geno Smith's back, so I'd like to really go out on a limb here, but I know better than that. Miami 146, the Jets 2. I think they get a safety late. A snap over the punter's head.
Seriously, I think Miami goes out and lays them down. I think it's about 31-14, Miami. Okay, now I save the two other games. New England at Green Bay.
Oh, so tough to predict. Rick, I think let's assume this is a Super Bowl preview, and because we all keep saying it, it's not going to be. Let's assume it is. In that case, I think New England recently finding a way to lose Super Bowls, so I'm going to predict them by 10 over Green Bay. I think they got it rolling so well. I think they humble Green Bay a little bit. I know that I'm just trying to play this out down the road. I got Green Bay winning the Super Bowl, which means I got New England winning this one by 10.
All right. I think you have the cart ahead of the horse, and I'm not sure this is a Super Bowl preview or not, but I think this is just a huge game. And they're at Lambeau. New England is rolling. I think it's one of these kind of games, last team that scores wins, and I think New England is the team that scores last. I think they win 37-34 over Green Bay. Denver at Kansas City.
All right, Rick, like we talked about at the top of the show, it's going to go one of two ways. I think Denver, another tough matchup with Miami. They ended up in the 30s, but they sort of struggled to get there, a bad first half. I think Peyton Manning comes out, shows Kansas City that you're close, you're not quite there yet. I actually think Denver lays it on Kansas City. These Sunday night games have tended to be a little bit ugly. Give me Denver 37, Kansas City 17. I think they lay it on them.
Okay, I think it's closer than that. I think Kansas City defense is good enough to keep them under 40, but I'm like you. I don't think their offense is enough to keep up with them. I like Denver 33, Kansas City 24. Okay, we have Scott Fish on the line, so we might as well bring in our buddy Scott. And here we go. Scott, how are you, my man?
I'm doing good. I was doing some Christmas shopping for Rick Flieger, and I was looking at jerseys of Geno Smith and Ryan Matthews and D'Angelo Williams and Drew Stanton, and now I hear that he's not into Drew Stanton. He's not buying him. So I guess that narrows down my search a little bit.
Yeah, that'll make life a little easier. Geno Smith, I think I look good in a Geno Smith jersey. And I got to tell you, I don't think it's going to happen, but I am praying that kid comes out and has a big game this week against Miami just so I can jump back on the bandwagon.
Well, if he has a big game, I think he's going to score more than 2 points, which he predicted for them. So it's you're really versus yourself in this one.
That's right. Set the expectations low. That's how I've gotten this far in life to this point.
Well, Scott, we kind of hit on these couple of games. I just certainly won't go through them all. But what's your take on New England Green Bay? Just kind of interested in hearing that.
I think there's going to be about 70 points scored. I've looked through the Green Bay schedule a couple times, and, you know, I don't think their wins are just super impressive, but they are home today. I thought the Vikings played them well both games, even though the first game they got blown out. It really wasn't until after the second half. I think I don't remember which one of you said it, but I think pass by 10 is probably a fair estimate. I think the Pats are just playing much better right now. The Packers blowouts were not against great defenses.
Right, I agree there. I'm looking forward to both these games. To be honest with you, I'm just going to be. We were talking off air before we went on. San Diego, Baltimore, New England, Green Bay, Denver, Kansas City. I'm glad that all three of these games are on at different times because I'm really interested in all three of them.
Yeah, and I think the Saints-Steelers in the early games has potential for a whole lot of scoring as well. I think that one might be pretty fun to watch. I agree with you on the Panthers-Vikings, by the way. As a Vikings fan, I barely want to watch how ugly that game's going to be.
As a Vikings fan, I don't want to get too deep into this. That's why I've avoided it to this point. How do you feel about Ray Rice being reinstated and Adrian Peterson still being suspended?
Wow, I personally on the legal front, if I'm going to go to that side of it, I really think the NFL just keeps overstepping their bounds, and I really don't think if you're going to reinstate one, you pretty much got it. I think you got to do it for both. They said Peterson would be reinstated. They did not deny that Peterson. The agreement was Peterson would be taken off that list when his case got done. So I really don't see why he's still out. I know a lot of people in Minnesota want him back. I know that there are a lot that don't. I have my personal feelings on it. I don't know if you want me to go into that here, but I think the NFL needs a whole lot more consistency.
Oh, I agree 100%. No question about that. But, hey, while we're rolling along, let's get to some questions. The first question doesn't really pertain to this week because one of the guys involved has already played. But as Rick hinted last week, here come the questions. Cam Newton or Mark Sanchez? What if you're sitting here with a situation like that this week?
I'll tell you what, the potential upside of Mark Sanchez, look, there's the potential he goes out and vomits all over himself. I spent a good bit of time talking about this on the Fantasy Sports Network show. He's going to have turnovers. He's going to have the two interceptions every single week. How many stat lines of Cam Newton is 180 yards, a touchdown, and a couple of picks, and he hasn't been rushing well? It's going to be a matchup play. It's not going to be an every week, but I wouldn't hesitate in a lot of weeks, and I can't believe I'm saying it, to start Mark Sanchez over Cam Newton. Cam Newton's been one of the bigger disappointments to me this season.
Yeah, I would have actually taken Sanchez anyway. Sanchez had, what, like three or four straight 300-yard games going into Thursday, and Minnesota just held Aaron Rodgers to 209 yards, and they've only allowed one quarterback to throw for over 300 this entire season. They've allowed some points, but I think Newton's matchup was way tougher than Sanchez, and Sanchez has been showing up. That wouldn't have been a question for me. I would have pulled the trigger on Sanchez.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. I mean, you look at Cam Newton, and 2,392 yards passing, 12 touchdowns, 10 picks. And he's got the 293 yards rushing, but, you know, that's less than Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, Alex Smith has 191 yards rushing. He's behind Alex Smith. He's behind Joe Flacco, Colin Kaepernick. He's behind Eli Manning in fantasy scoring this year. And, yeah, I mean, it's not even that tough of a question. But, yeah, I see where some of these owners are at. I mean, you have a Cam Newton. It's like – Cam, just the potential, you know, to really break out, but they're just not doing it. They're a bad team in a bad division, and if they were in the wherever, you know, pick a division, AFC East or something like that, they'd be so far out of it already, it wouldn't even matter. So, yeah, I mean, Cam Newton has just been a huge disappointment. Okay, we're going to pick two.
Just one more thing on Cam Newton. Something that's gone under talked about his rushing, half of his rushing and all of his touchdowns, 150 yards and two touchdowns, came in two games. He has eight games
right.
with less than 10 yards and zero touchdowns. Eight games. Eight of his 11 have less, or eight of his 10, 11 games, yeah. Eight of the 11, he has less than 10 yards and no touchdowns.
So what do you attribute it? Do you think he's still banged up? Has the league figured him out a little bit? This seems to happen. Even you go back to, I don't know if I want to compare Donovan McNabb, but Michael Vick, these guys that the rushing game is a big part of what they do. You see Kaepernick reverting back to the norm. Russell Wilson's up and down. Does the league defenses just figure these guys out eventually, or to what do you attribute this Cam Newton just complete fall from grace?
I actually think Cam Newton this year is what you first said, mostly injury. Most of his bad games were the five to start the beginning of the season, where he had, I think something like 45 yards in the first five games. I think it's mostly injury, honestly. But the guys like Kaepernick and Griffin and stuff, I think there is a level of figuring out the read option and putting a spy on him.
Yeah, I agree. There's just you have to expand a little bit in the NFL, that's for sure. Okay, we're going to pick two PPR out of Reggie Wayne, Jarvis Landry, Brandon LaFell, Vincent Jackson.
Oh boy, that's tough. I like LaFell this week. I think I'm gonna pick him out. By the guts to go with Landry, Rick, this kid just keeps getting it done. I think I'm going to do it. Wayne, I'm sort of out on. Who was the last guy?
Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, boy, that seems to become Mike Evans' show a little bit there. Tough matchup with Cincinnati. I'm going to go Landry as my number two out of that list.
You know, I'm actually going Landry number one. He's just been consistent all, you know, and, you know, Tannehill proven he can throw it. Miami's got a good matchup with the Jets. I like Landry, and I'll go along with you. I'll go LaFell. The upside there against Green Bay is right there. I love it.
Yeah, I'm right with you, Briggs. I have Landry number one, LaFell number two, Wayne really, really close to LaFell. I'd probably pick Wayne if it wasn't for LaFell's just awesome matchup. LaFell has, like, three of his last four games, he's had really, really good games. We're talking 10-plus targets. The Indianapolis game, he didn't fare so well. But the other three, man, they've been stellar. I'm Landry first, LaFell second, Wayne third, Vincent Jackson. Take a seat.
There you go. I agree. Okay, we have a PPR dilemma, you know, with an exclamation point. Pierre Thomas, Ryan Matthews.
Oh boy. Until I see Thomas... As much as I don't like Matthews this week, and I had him as a sit, until I see him get worked into the offense, looks like Kyrie Robinson is going to be back a little bit this week. Oh, he's out now?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was going to play. All right. But still, that's Mark Ingram's show. I think I'm going to have to see Pierre Thomas get worked in a little bit. I know in a PPR he's interesting, but I don't have the guts to do it. I'm going to hope Ryan Matthews gets 15 to 20 touches and take my medicine there.
Scott, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going Pierre Thomas. I think it's a better matchup against Pittsburgh. I think it's a higher scoring game. I don't like Ryan Matthews at Baltimore with all the reasons we talked about, San Diego going east and so forth, and the Baltimore defense. I think I'm going to ride Pierre Thomas, especially in PPR.
You know, it's a really rough one because your mindset tells you Ryan Matthews is, you know, the starter, he's going to get 15 carries. But Baltimore has not allowed, I think the number was something like 60 yards. Let me double check real quick. Yeah, they have not allowed a running back to gain over 60 yards yet over 70 yards this year. And they've only allowed three touchdowns. Give me Pierre Thomas. I'm in a PPR league especially. I I don't like it. I don't like either option, but that's sometimes what happens when you got injuries and you're talking about flex plays. Pierre Thomas, barely.
Who says you can't go home again, Rick? Back on Ryan Matthews' Island.
There you go. All right. Okay, we have a little bit of a quarterback dilemma here, and this guy was already brought up once. Cam Newton, Eli Manning, or Alex Smith?
Oh, Scott, we'll let you start this show.
Yeah, well, I think that Eli Manning's probably the safest play against the Jags. I like the Kansas City Broncos game for possibly Alex Smith coming back. And as you mentioned, the last few years, you should look at his rushing numbers. He's been among the top five rushing quarterbacks in the last couple of, like, 2-3 years in a row now. He's surprisingly mobile. You don't think of him that way, but he is. But I think Eli's matchup is just too tasty to avoid. I would go Eli with the Jags.
You know, this is a lot closer than it should be. And I have Cam number three, and I think Scott does too, because he was only talking about Smith and Eli. Cam's number three. I think I would probably go Eli just by a gnat's eyelash over Alex Smith, I think. I think Alex Smith, Denver gets ahead. I think there's some garbage time points to be had. In the close game, you know, you can rely, I think, on his legs. He's just one of these guys that really doesn't lose games. So I think he's a pretty safe play. But, you know, the Giants, they have enough weapons. We talked about Beckham with Jennings and so forth, Reuben Randall. You know, I think Eli squeaks him out if I really had a gun to my head going into the last regular season game of the fantasy league.
I'm gonna island myself again, Rick. For you sort of nailed on my justification for Alex Smith. I think you're going to see some garbage time, some necessity trying to keep up. I'm going to hope for a rushing touchdown here. Sad. This should be Cam Newton, and we should be laughing at this guy for asking this question. But I agree, he's third on this list. I don't know why. Gut feeling. I think Eli throws up all over himself this week. This is the kind of week where you finally feel safe playing Eli Manning. Three picks would not stun me whatsoever. So I'm going to go the safe way, and I'm going to go with Alex Smith.
Okay. There we have another. This is a standard question. And, you know, he's actually hasn't been that bad this year, even in the last few games. But Vincent Jackson, you know, has been brought up, I don't know how many times.
A lot of – normally wouldn't get any Vincent Jackson questions because he should be a lock, but it hasn't been the case this year.
But Vincent Jackson or Martavis Bryant?
Oh, it's Martavis Bryant, easy. And what should be a shootout, and with the bad Steelers defense having to keep up with a Drew Brees, yeah, I think Bryant's good for, yeah, especially in a standard, because I don't think he's going to have 10 catches. But on four catches, this kid could easily have 80 to 100 yards and two touchdowns. It's Martavis Bryant. It's not even close for me.
I agree with you. Cincinnati just doesn't give up much to wide receivers all year. And, you know, Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay. So I'm certainly going Bryant. I think that the touchdown potential is much greater.
I think you guys need a Fleeger cannon drop for a question like this. For me, I would take Martavis Bryant, especially when you're in this is going to be someone's first week of their playoffs or their last week of their regular season, and most likely I'm shooting for the moon to try to win this game. Either way, I would go Bryant. I think there's going to be a ton of points scored in that game.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, Scott, before we move on any farther, you know, we just want to take a minute here. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I have chest pains for about 5 to 15 minutes, once or twice a day still. Still off work. We'll see what they say on Tuesday, but for the most part, I feel pretty normal except for that.
Well, we're still thinking about you and wish you the best. I didn't want that to slide by and all this fantasy excitement here.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It's good that I have something like fantasy football and just regular watching NFL football to keep my mind off things and keep me relaxed.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's like a soap opera. I mean, I just sit and watch it and fall asleep, wake up, and pick up right where I left off. Okay, for a flex, we need it's a PPR for a flex, excuse me. Chris Ivory, Fred Jackson, Steven Jackson.
Boy, don't really like the matchup for any of those guys. Ivory, Steven and Fred. You know what? I don't like Steven Jackson this week. He's probably going to get the least amount of work out of all those guys. He seems pretty good for a touchdown. And I actually, for whatever reason, picked Atlanta to win that game. It's so close for me. I'm going to go Steven Jackson, Fred Jackson, Chris Ivory. I don't like Ivory this week. That Miami defense is game. Give me Steven Jackson, and I'm going to hope for the touchdown.
Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I was just trying to think who I would rather play against if I was a running back, the Browns, the Cardinals, or Miami. All three just don't inspire me to a lot of points. I think I actually might go with Seager. I hate to say it, but it's one of those things. I don't know how much I trust FJX coming back. I just don't trust the Jets against Miami. I think I would lean Steven Jackson in a game. I think they might actually get some points. Rough, but I'm going to lean Steven Jackson just barely. Good question.
Yeah, that was an extremely difficult question. And, you know, Steven Jackson has really been starting to come alive as far as at least, you know, end zone anyway. He's gotten in three times in the last four games. But he still doesn't put up that many yards. And, you know, in a game, what is that, Buffalo-Cleveland? I don't know. I think Fred Jackson comes alive. I'm going to put myself on Fred Jackson Island. And I just think with the PPR catches, he still has as good a chance of getting into the end zone as Steven, so I'm just going to have him edge out S-Jax by a little bit, and I'm going Fred. So I'll remain comfortable on Fred Jackson Island. Okay, we're going to pick three in PPR, and I don't know what kind of situation this guy is in, but to pick three out of these guys, Pierre Garçon, Eric Decker, Marquise Colston, and Hawkins.
So I got to throw one out, right?
Yeah.
I'll throw Decker out. Geno Smith's back, my boy. So Eric Decker, he's out there lamenting the fact, basically, that he's in New York now and walked away from Peyton Manning. I thought that was telling. So, yeah, Hawkins and Decker, it's close with those two. But I'm going to throw Decker out. It just ain't there, and I don't think it gets any better with Geno Smith rolling into town.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Scott.
He needs three of those. I think Decker is probably the one I would throw out as well. I don't remember how Garçon did with Colt. I should have that readily available, but I don't. But I think that offense will be a little smoother, and the Colts can be passed on. And they might even be playing catch up. So I like Garçon. I like Hawkins with Cameron out. Hawkins might cover up some of the middle stuff, and I, even though Stills looked from my eye better than Colston last week with Brandon Cooks out, I still think the possibility of Colston being the guy that has the big game is there. Bench Decker.
Yeah, I'm mega unanimous, and you know, like I said before, I took this question just because if you're taking three from these guys, this must be the last game of the year, because I don't think you're going to be in the playoffs. No disrespect made here, but, man, there's not much to choose from there. Okay, we have Tom Brady at Green Bay.
Wow, a Tom Brady question.
Or Ben Roethlisberger at home against New Orleans.
Oh,
that's
oh,
why.
Oh no.
I've got to let you guys take
this one. I'll start this one. I'll take Tom Brady. I think that's a really, really, really tough question, but I can see the Packers and the Patriots trying to keep the game a little slow at first, but I think come the third and fourth quarter, it's just going to be an all-out war. The Packers are going to have trouble stopping Gronk, and the Patriots are going to have trouble stopping Cobb and Jordy. I think it's just going to be one of those 37-34 type of games. Give me Brady. I think he gets at least three touchdowns today.
You know, for everything you said, I agree with. But that tell you, that New Orleans defense is so bad. That being said, though, I trust Tom Brady. And we'll go back to week four when I dumped him and we were all over him, Scott Fish included. We were all over this guy. We have mud in our face, egg in our eye, whatever you want to say. I'm going Tom Brady. And this guy who wrote it into question, I have to assume that you've probably been riding Brady all year. And if you're in the playoff hunt, you know, and you're looking to win a Super Bowl, I think you just keep riding Tom Brady.
Yeah, I have to look at when both players are equal, I think, this week. Not certainly not generally, but this week in terms of matchup. Roethlisberger probably has a better matchup. The one least likely, as important as this game is here in Week 13, the one least likely to fall on his face. You saw the Pittsburgh Steelers go out and get manhandled by the New York Jets. This offensive line sometimes disappears. If Roethlisberger is under a lot of pressure, he tends to turn the ball over. Tom Brady has got it rolling so good right now. I think he continues to do what he does. I think the higher upside, honestly, is almost with Roethlisberger. But plug in your 25 to 30 points for Tom Brady and not have to worry about it. I would have a few concerns with Ben Roethlisberger. So, yeah, I'll make it unanimous. Give me Brady. But, boy, what a tough call. Hard to put Ben on the bench going up against New Orleans.
Yeah, no question about that. But, yeah, you almost have to think that this guy's been riding Brady the whole time, and it's still a great matchup. Okay, we have one more here, and it's a PPR question. Bishop Sankey.
Oh, no.
Ruben Randall. Darren McFadden.
Ruben Randall, just because he's not Bishop Sankey and Darren McFadden. That's all the analysis I can give you.
What? Yeah, I'm on Ruben Randall, and Pawsey's not Bishop Sankey and Darren McFadden, but also because, you know, we kind of talked about it before. I think the Giants, that's a decent matchup against Jacksonville. Look, they're still capable of – they've always moved to football this year. So I think Ruben Randall certainly has a much better upside. You know, Oakland at that St. Louis defense, I don't like McFadden at all. So I think it's easily Ruben Randall.
Yeah. Fleeger, before I answer this, did you hear the news this morning that Oakland is petitioning the NFL to be moved to the NFC South because at 1-10 they would be in the playoff hunt still?
Yeah, it's a sad NFC side. I'm really rooting for one of those teams to win the Super Bowl. I really am.
Yeah, that would be just hilarious. What a 6-win team made the playoffs. It's very possible that could be a reality this year.
And it would even be funnier if it was Tampa.
Oh wow. Yeah, I don't think any of them would go anywhere, but wow, that's just sad. The answer is Ruben Randall, of course. I can't trust Sankey. I can't trust anything Oakland, really. So definitely Ruben Randall. And as I said before, I think the Giants-Jags game, I can see some points in that game. I like Manning. I should probably like Randall as well.
All right, that's basically everything that I have that I'd thrown in the mailbag, because we usually never have time to get through
right.
them all, and I limited it at 10. So, Scott, we're about out of time, buddy, and we are glad that you're still on the mend, so you keep doing what the doctors tell you, and don't get worked up over your fantasy seasons.
Oh, I'm not worried about it. I got buys secured in a lot of them, so I'm just kidding. Just some of them. Anyway, yeah, thanks, guys. It's been a blast. Looking forward to giving some playoff advice next week. I assume we're still going through the playoffs, so you can follow me at ScottFish24, and thanks again. It was a good time.
All right. Yes, we will certainly be going through the playoffs. There's no question about that. So we'll be here till the end of the season, that's for sure. But, you know, thanks again, buddy, and you take care of yourself.
All right, later, guys.
See you, Scott. All right, Rick. Well, boy, that wraps up another one. I have been on the road. I have been here. I am back, Rick, on a jet plane tonight heading back to Atlanta. So,
you know that song, do you?
What's that?
You're leaving on a jet plane?
I think I've heard.
Don't
that.
Know when
that's
I'll be
not
back
what,
again. All
that's,
that.
That's not what I have queued up. I have Welcome to Atlanta. I don't know if you're familiar with Ludacris's work.
Well,
but,
I'm familiar with Ludacris, but I thought, you know, leaving on a jet plane, I thought that would have been, actually been more appropriate.
Yeah.
Then you could have played Ludacris when you were in Atlanta.
Yeah, because it's Welcome to Atlanta.
Right. See, but see,
I'm not,
you know,
smart.
But you don't consult me with these
no,
things,
no.
So you can be logical.
Right. Yeah. Logic hasn't really ever been my thing, Rick. So. That being said, we don't know what the next week's going to hold. I do know we will have the inside slant here. I do know there will be something up on the Fantasy Sports Network. Beyond that,
we
apologize.
No,
we can't guarantee it. Life is just – and it seemed to happen, you know, it's expanded beyond. Real life has happened to everybody in our little community here this year, Rick. It's been a tough one, but stick with us. Thanks for bearing with us. It's been a fun season. It's been a wild season. Boy, I got some teams that are really good, and I got some teams that they ought to take this microphone away from me are so damn bad. It's been a hell of a season.
Yeah, I've been the same way. It's just been gruesome on some fronts, and then there's other teams that are awesome.
Right.
And, you know, and I think that's the way it works a lot. But a lot of it depends on injury and so forth. But I'll tell you what, there's hit and miss with some of these fantasy guys. And I tell you what, in one of the leagues, of course, you know, earlier in the preseason, I was pretty high on Zach Stacy.
Right.
Yeah. Earlier on in the year, you know, preseason, I was taking Zach Stacy a lot as a running back. Boy, those teams stink.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times it only takes that one mistake. So let's get out of here. Rick, I have got to head to the airport. We will be back in some form or fashion on the Fantasy Sports Network. Check that out, fantasysportsnetwork.com. If you're in the New York area, Cablevision Channel 147. That will be Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern, and 4 a.m. Rick Briggs time, as I like to call it, on Sunday. We will certainly be back with The Slant, 10 o'clock Eastern, live from Atlanta and Western Pennsylvania. That should be about
That's
it, Rick.
That's about it. AsylumFootball@gmail.com, AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com, @AsylumFootball on Twitter. And we're Flager and Briggs. Thanks for joining us.
All right, till next time. We'll see you.
Take care.
Who is it? I would happen to know
the one with the flow. See, this would have been better while you were in Atlanta.
You're right. That's a good song.
Leaving on a jet plane would have been appropriate for today.
It's a good song. You know, I saw in the news while I was down there, Ludacris, obviously, from Atlanta.
Right, yeah.
So he does this thing before Thanksgiving where he gives out turkeys to needy families. So he's got this box car that he's hauling the turkeys around in. But, of course, he pimps it out. He's, like, lean back, and it's got pink interior. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I wish I was a rapper.
You couldn't be a rapper.
No, I don't have the street cred.
No.
Waving your arms. Oh, that's right. You get to control everything now.
Bye.
Cadillac is a truck. I can't lose with 22. That's what's up. Running in the back, better than the act.